I want to get right to it. And so I want to give you, wanted to give you this big, long, like, review of what we've gone through. I just instead will invite you to check out online. We have all these messages, and we have messages literally going all the way back for a lot of years. If there's something you want to check out, there's all kinds of, there's all kinds of opportunities for you to connect with Crosswater online. Some of you are like, I don't like technology. I get it. But it's here to stay. And so you might want to engage it. We have an app for that. And we also have a website, and there's a lot of other places that you can engage with us. We have these things called phones you could call. And we love to be able to connect, and we also want to be honest. We're going to let people down because we're a bunch of humans. But we're going to keep pointing you to Jesus because he not only was human, but he's God all at the same time. Crazy, I know. All right, so we're finishing our series called Big Butts of the Bible. And for some people, that's like, why? That's unfortunate. You should have called it something else. Big butts of the Bible means that there are some butts that you find out in the Bible, the word but. It's an exception clause. It's this chance where something's happening, then it changes the direction. Look, I missed the deer in the road, but I went in the river. All right, that's a bummer but, right? I hit the tree, but I didn't go in the river, right? Now, that's a better but. And so the buts of God are significant, and they change direction. They see a situation that's desperately headed in one direction, and it's bad. But God. But God came to the rescue. But God flipped the script. But God, but God, but God, but God. However, again, we have this debate going on in our own minds. We have a, but God, you're awesome, or a, but God, why? And we're allowed. That's, I mean, what made me cry earlier, as sad as my friend's situation is, I mean, he just surrendered his life to the Lord a little over a week ago, wanted to get baptized, and now is probably face to face with him very, very soon. But as Lord and Savior, that kind of thing made me like, thank you, God. And then watching these little kids, sweet kids, step up and help and want to make a difference. These little kids also memorize the Bible way better than their pastor does. And that's impressive and challenging. Before I get going too far, I'm getting old, so I forget things. I want to just blurt this out really quick. Happy birthday, Amy. You're welcome. And yes, I want to blurt out happy birthday, Andrew McDermott. And I also want to blurt out happy anniversary to my brother, Jason, and his amazing bride, my sister-in-law, Carrie. Keep going, you guys. Love you. All right. There's six thoughts that change directions from a but in the Bible, and these are the ones that we have looked at. God's strategy, God's love, God's kingdom, God's attitude or mind. Perspective is another word we used. And then last week we talked about God's ability and strength, which, by the way, friends, is limitless. Ours, on the other hand, is limited. And then today we're talking about God's faithfulness. Look, we started this whole year saying we want to go beyond normal, not get back to normal. And boy, if we didn't tell you anything about Jesus, we're not back to normal in our world. And I don't know, honestly, what normal ever fully was. But we're going beyond normal, which means by God's grace, it allows us and empowers us to live for him. And to honor him, and to see things differently with that exception of but God. Look, I want to bring you to a psalm that's been really helpful for me. And it's about preaching to yourself. So if you go to Psalm 103, and as you're turning to that, and we've got it on the screen, and Robin, thank you so much. We've got, I'm just going to do 15 through 19, but in the beginning of it, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's like, come on, soul, get with it. Bless the Lord. How do you bless God? Does anybody know? How do you bless God? What do you think? Online, pop that in there. What do you guys think here in the room? Yeah. Being obedient. So, like, legitimately, it blesses you when your kids obey you, and they do. I mean, look at the haircut. Nice job. All right. But legitimately, right, does it bless you as a mama to have your kids obey you? What if they obeyed you? Like, I mean, sometimes you just want them to obey you, right? But to have a heart, right, that's for you and for honoring you. Me too. I love that. I think that blesses God. What else? If you want to use the word bless, wonderful. You want to use the word happy, you could use that. What do you think makes God happy? I know that as a dad, I told my kids, you want to make God happy? Do what your dad says. I mean, and I manipulated that. But what about you? What else? What blesses God? Praise. Amen. Praising him. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Sarah. All right. So praising him, honoring him. Do you think it blesses the Lord to praise him when the wheels are coming off all around you? I do too. And so this is kind of the beginning of Psalm 103, and then he jumps into this. This is verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it's gone. I mean, flourishes, wow, flower of the field, gorgeous, and gone real quick. This is what man is like. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord, that all caps is Yahweh, the great I am, has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. He starts out by preaching to himself. Then he talks about how limited man is and how unlimited God is. And that is such a great perspective shift. And that but in there is like, hey, we're limited, but God's not. We're a mess, but God's not. That should be encouraging. A lot of people have come to me, and rightfully so, because so much is happening in this world. But a lot of people have come to me about end times. If you don't know what that means, it's when the times end. It's like the end of the world stuff, right? And I know some of you are thinking REM, it's the end of the world as we know it, right? But it's more than a song. There's this idea that everything's going to end. Does God come back and grab his people before and rapture us out? And everybody's like, yeah, if we could vote, you bet. And does he rapture us? I believe no matter where you stand on all that, if you are in Jesus Christ, you've seen the steadfastness of his love, the goodness of God, you have been raptured already from the most important thing you would need to be raptured from, and that's his wrath. You have been set free. We have been set free. Hallelujah. Is there more to that? Yeah, you get to walk in it now. And again, if he wants to come and beam us up like Scotty, that's a Star Trek reference. They're over now. I won't keep going. But if he wants to beam us up before the world falls apart even more, yep, hallelujah. But he is my hope, and he is your hope, and he's living even in the midst of the most chaotic times any of us have ever understood. So with that, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians gets talked about, and I'm like, gosh, God's faithfulness, I've got to understand it more and more, even in the context of what looks like the end times. And can I just get to it, since we're right here together this morning? We often don't worry about what's going on until it affects us. So all of a sudden now, because America literally is falling apart, newsflash, it's been falling apart for a long time. It's just super obvious now. And now we're like, oh gosh, Jesus is coming back, probably. No, probably about it, he is. Timing, I don't have that for you. I'm not a date setter. I want to fix my eyes on the one that knows. Fix my eyes on the one that made the dates, made the seasons, made it all happen. Do I think he's coming back? Yes, I want him to come back desperately. Not just to clean this up, but his rule and reign. I'm tired of seeing the brokenness, but I'm very, very thankful for his faithfulness. So, in that context of end times, in that context of talking to a church in Thessalonica that had its own ups and downs, but were pretty darn faithful and had some good things going on, Paul writes this at the end of 2 Thessalonians, and it's 2 Thessalonians 3, and we'll go 1 through 5. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. Pray that people hear the word of the Lord just like you did, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. He's actually even talking about people that are what's called sheep or wolves in sheep's clothing, that they're actually acting like Christians and preaching, and like Paul shared with us, and that was amazing, by the way, from my heart. But there's people that should know better, people that actually know the good news and are manipulating people to actually build up themselves. He says, for not all have faith, so pray for us that the word will go out and we'd be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. Let that sit for a second. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Look, evil's happening. We have brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. We have brothers and sisters in China. We have brothers and sisters in Nigeria. We have brothers and sisters in Colombia. We have brothers and sisters in Iran. We have brothers and sisters in New York City. We have brothers and sisters up in Surrey, BC, that are being messed with, killed, tortured, separated, not just from comforts, but from people, from loved ones, from ministry. So how could you be established and guarded while bad things are still happening to you? God's word and Jesus himself is saying, you're going to go through stuff, but you'll never be separated from me, and the evil one doesn't win ultimately. And I've got to keep that perspective, and I hope you will as well, because the Lord is faithful. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. Kind of back to what you're saying, Tiffany, there's like, bless the Lord, honor him with obedience and praise and trust. My beloved daughter shared something with me that I've shared with you multiple times, and I'll tell you again. Seeds grow in the dark. They grow deep in the ground. And you have to have faith and trust that that's going to happen. And some of the darkest stuff that's happening right now, we get to trust that the Lord is actually faithful and he's making stuff grow. He says, I know you will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness, another word again for faithfulness, of Christ. I love this, that we get to understand that we're being directed towards his faithfulness. Why do you need to be reminded that God hangs in there and that God's always faithful? Because we live in a world that isn't. You live in a body, a physical body that isn't faithful. I know what I want to do, Paul says in Romans 7, but I don't do the good that I should do. I find myself doing the evil. Who's going to help me? Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God. So, these amazing five words for you. But the Lord is faithful. Honestly, I believe this right here might be the biggest but of the Bible that needs to butt into your situation. The Lord is faithful. Who's faithful? The Lord. I want to unpack that a bunch more, but I'm actually going to go to the fact that you and I need to remember that his faithfulness is good news. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is where his love butts in. But God's love is different and better. But in Romans 3, we hear about bad news. And the bad news helps us to understand the good news. And if you've been reading with us, we read through a good chunk of Romans this week. And it's this continual reminder that God is faithful. He's faithful to purity, to righteousness, to the truth, to love. He's faithful to his own character and to his people. And so this, for so many years in Romans 3, has been one of, if not the most helpful things for me to remember, that everybody falls short. And last week I told you to look to the person to the side of you and say that you're an image bearer of God. And then I think I might have also said look to the person next to you and say you're a hot mess. So, I mean, the reality is we're both. But everybody falls short, and we're about to read that. But check this out. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many people, church? All. And all, it says, are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, a payment. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, not die, not be separated, not have to freak out about the end times, but they would have everlasting life. The propitiation, the payment, by his blood, to be received by faith. So let me be really careful. You might read 24 and think, oh, everybody's saved. Nope, by faith you have to believe that Jesus is the payment for that, or you're not saved, you're not set free, you're not paid for. The gift is there, but it's unopened. It's not received. But by faith, first his faithfulness and then the gift to us that we would have faith, we have been paid for. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. Like, because of his love and his kindness, his forbearance, his hanging in there with us, our past stuff is not going to be held against us. It's set free. We're set free. And that was, it says in verse 26, to show his righteousness at the present time. He covered your old stuff. He covers you right now. And we're going to find out that he covers us in the future. So that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There's so many different words in here, but let's look at it again. I said this before, just and justifier. Who believes that it's fair for little children to be taken from their families, or worse, sold by their families into sexual slavery? Who thinks that's good and just? Good, because for one of the few times in my life, if you would have raised your hands, I would have said, shame on you. Who else thinks it's just that anybody who sins willingly, knowingly, says no to God, should be able to say later on to God, don't be a jerk, let me into heaven? Right? There's nobody, right? We just don't believe that. And yet, some of us act that way. It's not your faithfulness, because you, by your nature, fall short, as we just read, and we are faithless. But our faithlessness is met by his faithfulness. Do you get that? Like, he justified us by his blood. That's not fair, but it is just. Somebody has to pay for sin, and Jesus did it. Growing up, the word but was a continual problem between me and my mom. She required things that were really basic, and I wouldn't do them. But. I'd explain it away with excuses. But I was tired. But I forgot. But my brothers, the ones you decided to have, got in the way. Well, I've got three buts for you in Romans 6 that are a continual reminder that the bad news of everybody falling short of the glory of God is met with the good news of the fact that God is the justifier of those that want to be set free because they've been wooed by God and his love. And it's faith that's a gift from him to us. But in Romans 6, 19 through 23, we have three buts that just stand out as an encouragement to God's faithfulness and how different it is than our faithlessness. So let me get to it. Paul breaks it down for these people. He's been laying it out for them, but now he just speaks in human terms. In verse 19, this is how he starts it. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Let me take the cookies off the top shelf and put them down here where you kiddies can get them. And I'm so thankful because I'm thick and not just, you know, I'm thick-headed. I need somebody to break it down for me. Let me use small words is what Paul's saying. And we need that. And here's how he breaks it down. For just as you once presented your members, your bodies, as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so you like were all about doing your thing your way and get me some more of that, just like you used to do that and you literally presented, you chose to do that. So now present your body, your members, as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification, being set free, being more. You have chosen before, now choose to give yourself to God for holiness, to be made new. If you're in Jesus, he's simply saying, follow him. Choose it. What if everything's going on? But. No, this but is so much better. I asked you a couple weeks ago, whose but are you looking at? Your own or the butts of God? For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You weren't just free to be righteous. You and I, when we were slaves to sin, were free from righteousness. No matter how much good we try to do, it was never, ever enough. We didn't want righteousness. We wanted sin. In Romans 1, he talks about this. Look, you were all about sin, and you wanted more. A long time ago, God gave me some lyrics to a song, and I wrote my one and only song ever, really. And it's called, Where's Your Life Headed? And in there, I had a question. Doing my thing my way, was this freedom? What was I to become? I was tired of finding new ways just to be dumb. And he's like, look, you were free from the right way of living when you were slaves to sin. Do you know who he wrote this book to? Christians. He's like, wake up. Come on. But, first but, if you were back in the day were slaves to sin and you didn't have anything to do with righteousness, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. This is a shout out, and I don't know who you are really. I mean, I physically know most of you that are in the room, but the reality is I don't know where you're at, but I'm here to tell you, if you already knew that sin and slavery to it, doing your thing your way and leaving God out, if you found out that that led to death and you're going back to it, you were ashamed of those things. Don't go back. That fruit is nasty. You may see it as ornamental and it looks fun, but man, take that thing down. It's a mess. It's going to lead to the same stuff that it led to before, death. If you're in Jesus, you won't be separated from him forever. You'll be separated from the goodness of him right now because you don't want him. And you alienate yourself from him. Look, Just because you get baptized like some of you are going to next week, that doesn't make you perfect, but it says you're already perfectly loved. Dead to myself, out of the water, alive in Christ. But you still can choose to sin. But you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. Man. He says, for the end of those things in verse 21 is death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Great news. We're going to be talking a lot about the fruit of God and His Spirit starting next week. The fruit of your decisions, of slave to sin decisions, that is death. But the fruit of God's Spirit, of His goodness, of His righteousness, is life and sanctification. Being set free, being made more like Him. And then he just summarizes it, and this is the good news. This is the gospel. Understand it. The gospel is bad news before it's good news, one or a million people have said. For the wages of sin is death. Your paycheck for doing your thing, your way, sin, is death. But the free gift of God, the grace gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you, friends, paycheck or gift, what do you want? You want to get what you've earned? It's death. But the gift? That's free life. That's eternal life. That's abundant life. That's good life in Jesus. Please don't confuse good life with American dream or with more money or more freedoms. You have every freedom you need in Christ to be all that you can be. I live in a world right now where just about everybody's hiring and nobody wants a job. You know why? Because we like the free gift. It used to be, nope, nobody's giving me nothing. And we do that with God all the time. Nope, I'll earn it. But now we're starting to transition as a nation and as a people. Yeah, I'll take a handout. I need it. People were taking a handout because they couldn't get a job. They were actually being downsized and everybody was being sent home and so they couldn't work. And now people are working. I get paid way more from the government than I do from you. And now that's starting to dry up a little bit. And you know what? I like it so much. I'd much rather have somebody just hand me something. So let me tell you how that works in the best way possible. Let Jesus hand you life and you receive it. And then you walk that out as a man or a woman, a child of Christ. I don't have a ton of time to unpack this, so for some of you, you might be wondering, okay, is it really like that, that I could just come to Jesus? I could just receive what He has for me, and it's just that simple. Yeah, I'm going to use the Bible to point it out, so it's circular reasoning for some people, but this is just consistent from beginning to end. This is what you need to do. Three things, okay? And if you want this, it's because God took you from the bottom of the lake. He took you from being dead in your trespasses, as it says in Ephesians 2. This is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are labored, or all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke, take my teaching, and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Look, He's going to have you come alongside of Him, but you have to come to Him. You have to take from Him, friend. You have to learn from Him. Will you? Christian, I'm talking to you. Pre-Christian, somebody who's not quite sure yet, I'm talking to you. Which butt are you going to focus on? Your own? The world's exceptions, or are you going to look at this exceptional God who's actually the only time in all of the Word where He tells you about His heart, or at least where Jesus tells you about His heart, He says, I'm gentle and lowly. I'm humble. I don't want to smack you around. I want to set you free. But you're going to have to come to me. I came to you, but literally the only step he won't take is that one where you come to him. Take from him and learn from him. Some of you have struggled with this a bunch, and some of you are Christians that have struggled with it, and you've gone awry in this world, and it's falling apart. You've been like the world. I got a bonus but for you, and I've got to hurry, so here you go. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. You ready for the bonus but? There's five ifs, but there's one but. This is the message we've heard from him, and we proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice in the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Good news. Remember the gospel. Proclaim the gospel to yourself and to others. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. God is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess. He wants us to be set free. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we are, wait for it, in fellowship with him. We're the children of the light. We get to be like him in this world. So if you've been like this in the world, and you've been angry at the world, and you've been angry at the church, and you've even been angry at God, good news, the Lord is faithful. He'll forgive you. If you would rather keep doing your thing your way, he will say, go ahead. But it will be with consequences, and those consequences are a gift from a faithful God to wake you up. I'm going to say this like this. God is faithful. Will you receive that faithfulness and be faithful back? We're here on Labor Day weekend. If you're heavy laden with labor, come to Jesus and he'll give you rest. God, I thank you for that truth. I thank you that you butt in, have your way in us. I pray for those who have struggled, those who have been mighty and successful. All of it is because of you, that you have given us life. I thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us. I ask, God, that we would humble ourselves where we need to, come to you where we haven't come to you, that we would celebrate you, that we would remember that you are so different. May we want your love, your grace. May we submit to you. God, I pray this in your perfect name. Amen.